Busty Fam, Amy here. Welcome to The Activity Continues, a podcast where three soul friends talk about all things paranormal. Ghosts, hauntings, psychics, movies and TV shows, especially The Dead Files, and other spooky and spooky adjacent things. We also like to interview people in the paranormal community, as well as past Dead Files clients and other interesting people. Sometimes we even tell your stories. I hope you enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone.
Thanks for joining us for another week. Tonight, we discuss a Dead Files episode called Forever Scarred. Not scared.
Not scared.
But it's from season 3, and it's episode 4 on Max, and it's episode 3 on Travel Channel on Demand.
Okay.
So, Amy, do you want to tell people why you chose this episode?
I just wanted to piss you guys off.
Mission accomplished.
I'm kidding. We got there.
I'm kidding. I had it marked in my list as one that sounded good, that I vaguely remembered and
good.
That I wanted to do. And when I watched it again to make sure that I wanted to do it, I was like, oh yeah, we'll have some things to say about this one. Mm-hmm. So It's been on my list for a long time. It's just taken me a while to get to it. So that's why. Content warning. I don't know that
mentioned suicide a little bit,
but that was just guessing about death. We did talk about a fire that killed a lot of people, but we did not get into
mass
too many
graves.
Details. Mm-hmm. Mass graves. That's probably the thing.
I explained a little bit about what like shotgun and shotgun pellets.
Yeah.
So gun talk. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing major though. There wasn't even a murder in this one.
Mm-mm. No.
Yeah.
No, so. I still was teetering around with George Jr.
Mm-hmm.
possibly could have been foul play because he was found 2 weeks later in the ocean,
in the river,
downriver. So who knows when he got into the water?
Yeah,
he probably went in that night though. It doesn't, if you, it's April and the melt off.
Mm-hmm.
Does make the river swell.
Yeah.
So but I do think that there could have been foul play to get him into the river.
Yeah. Yeah. It's possible.
Mm-hmm. It was a good one.
Yeah.
But I didn't really think there was a lot of major
content
warnings.
No. Mm-mm. So that's what we discussed. And I don't have any housekeeping or anything like that. Go fill out our survey if you haven't already. Yeah. We're getting some good feedback.
Nice.
So
thank you.
And one of the things that people mentioned was that they would like us to do an episode every week. So we're going to try that for a little bit, see if we can keep up with it. And if we can, we'll do that. And if lives get too busy, then we'll have to scale back a little bit. But we're going to try it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So enjoy Forever Scarred.
Woo.
Woohoo.
Welcome back, everyone. Tonight, as mentioned, we are discussing Forever Scarred. Amy, take it away with your overview.
Okie doke. This week, we are in Chicago. Steve meets up with Christina, who contacted the show because she's worried about her family. The twist here is that she doesn't live in the house. Her father and stepmother do. But she and her daughter have had experiences in the house as well, and she's worried about everyone, especially because she believes her father will never leave the home. The family has reported hearing their names called, seeing a black mass floating around stairways, witnessing apparitions, hearing footsteps, feeling hands grabbing them, and experiencing nightmares. Amy meets up with what I think might be one of the nastiest spirits I've ever seen her deal with. He was punching her, physically hurting her. He had blood all over him, and he told her to leave. She says he can jump people, too. She also sees that there have been voodoo seances, which have opened the door for the dead, and they didn't all necessarily want to come in.
Mm.
Steve learns that this family has already done a few things to try to get rid of the spirits, including an exorcism, which, as we know, often makes things worse.
Mm-hmm.
Steve's investigation uncovers a doctor who worked in the house when it was a clinic for TB patients. No one can seem to decide how to pronounce his name, including the descendant who gives us more about the doctor's later life, including when his son was disfigured by being shot in the face. Steve also learns about a poor farm / asylum that existed right next door to the client's property around 1923. At the reveal, Amy and Steve make the connections and believe that the nasty man here is the TB doctor. Or is it? Amy tells the owner that his actions, bringing the exorcism in and the seances, has brought the dead here, and they are pissed off. Christina gets so upset she needs to go off camera. Her dad downplays it because, of course. Amy tells him what he needs to do, including bringing in a therapist for the dead. He handled it about as well as expected. Amy gets visibly angry with him and attempts to set him straight. Does she succeed? Does he do what she said? You're goddamn right he didn't. Stay tuned for more drama when the activity continues.
I was going to say, if you're watching our faces, you know he didn't take her advice.
Right. That's why I was okay with
Jesus
saying,
fuck.
We're not going to tell you until the end.
Because... Sorry, there's going to be a lot of swearing in this episode.
I think so. I swore a lot when I watched it.
It's been a hot minute since I got this mad at a client.
Yeah.
But it is. It is. It is.
And
it is.
You know what's funny is I'm going to be open-minded. I'm going to be like
the wrong episode.
Well, you know what? I am going back to I look and I listen and I judge.
Yeah. We listen and we judge this guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
I have thoughts about the reveal. I have even anyways, I'm jumping ahead. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but I'm sorry.
Oh, there are some other things in here too that they don't really touch on, but I dug into a little
bit. Amy did some work, yeah.
And I mean, just kind of the way that it was worded, stuff was obviously cut out and cut out of the history that we find out about stuff, and it kind of pissed me off.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because I read one of the articles that you linked to, and I started reading the other one, and then I had to go eat. But So we should probably try to not go into the minutiae of the parts one and two, and then we can really talk about all the shit in the reveal. And we can also bring stuff up from.
I don't think there was as much stuff in part one as we maybe normally have. You know, it was very. Like I said, I was like, maybe I'll eat my words. And I definitely ate my words at the end of this episode. Shame on me for giving someone a chance.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm usually the like biggest skeptic out of the three of us.
You picked the wrong episode to do.
Yeah. You know, maybe he's just came up in that time and people aren't allowed to share their emotions. Nope.
Such a prick.
And an unpleasant person.
I will say, when I worked at the staffing company, if we ever had somebody who had a background check that was coming out of Cook County, Illinois, it was going to take weeks because Cook County, Illinois, Chicago, does not always have all of their old files digitized at that time.
Oh.
And there was so much of it and so many common names.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I remember that from when I was in, when Megan and I worked together in staffing and that we would, and that, cause I did the background checks and there was, if it was somebody from a certain county in Minnesota, I don't even remember which county, one of the smaller ones, we knew it was going to take forever cause they didn't have anything on their computers. Everything was on paper.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, we jump right out of the gate when with Christina telling Steve that her dad's probably not going to leave the house.
For the record, like, I love Christina.
Yeah, she was great.
She's beautiful. I love her.
She was great.
She's
and she has a little girl.
It's amazing that she came from him.
I know. I was thinking that
too.
She
must have a lot of her mother in her.
Yeah.
Well, it seemed like a really good relationship with the stepmom.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. I thought she got along well with the step. I mean, she gets along well with her dad. Too,
yeah.
I think. But
I have thoughts about her too.
Okay. I didn't dislike her as much. I was so focused on this.
I dislike her.
That, yeah. Oh, I didn't dislike her.
You got to widen your horizons, Amy.
I know. I can only handle one. I can only handle hating one person at a time.
You got to expand.
I know.
You got to.
She wasn't my favorite, but I got the feeling she believed Christina. And
no,
she was
not get that.
Worried about Christina.
Okay.
Especially in the reveal, she was.
Well, yeah, I disliked him from the beginning. And I think I had seen this episode, you know, because I've seen them all, but it was a long time ago. I did not remember. I remember when I saw his face. I was like, oh, I remember this guy. But I did not remember anything about
him. He was much younger than I was expecting him to be.
The father?
Yeah. And even though this was, 13 years ago?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When was this one out? 2012? I don't know.
12. Somewhere in there.
So,
but yeah, he just seemed a lot. I was just like, oh, he's definitely younger than I thought.
2013, November 22nd, 2013. Okay. Anyway, so, Okay, so you already talked about that. Oh, the Matt's hair.
Oh, the flow. I mean, we're in the state high school hockey tournament, and if you don't know, in Minnesota, it is flow season up here with Mako.
Kind of
But yeah,
mullety, very
so,
mullety.
but I was like, he has like a whole head of hair going on there.
Yeah. We just talked about that last time because he was bald in the last one we looked at. We were like, oh, it was better than that hair when it was all pushed to the front. Yep.
Poor Matt.
Yeah.
We
So,
love you no matter what your hair looks like, Matt.
we do.
If you're listening to this, which you are.
Yeah.
Obviously.
I'm sure he's one of our biggest fans.
He's probably our like number one fan. He has
Yeah.
shirts.
Totes my goats.
He got a
Totes my
Cricut
goats.
just to make shirts for this podcast.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Amy sees this lady first, and she says that the lady says, I'm not going to waste any more time because you're not going to do anything to help me, just like the others. So
Oof.
now Amy knows that they've had other people in there who haven't done anything
And Amy is
good.
barely out of the
Yeah,
car
I
at this
know.
point.
Yeah.
Like, so obviously she, you know, we've heard her talk about opening prior to getting there. So
Yeah.
this had to be one of those where she just couldn't wait any longer.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I've had Jenny tell me one time, I think it was with a group reading, she goes, yeah, they were all chatting at me before I even, as I was in the car waiting to talk to you.
Yeah, I know that happens to Amy too. Amy Hahn. When Steve is in the room with
Oh
Christina
God,
in her childhood bedroom, and he
that
says,
wallpaper.
yeah, he says, this is the same you grew up in having nightmares.
And to me, I go, that room is giving me nightmares because the house that we had, like that wallpaper looks like it is stuck on there for decades
I'm
and it's
sure it
gonna
is.
take forever to come off. The house that we live in, it's 1975 build, and every single room was ceiling to floor wallpaper and it was like on untreated walls. So it was just, and it was that old glue. Oh my God, I can still
Oh,
feel
yeah.
pieces of it on my hands
Yeah,
trying to
yeah.
get rid of it. Like the new stuff is very different
Yeah,
from the shit they
for
used
sure.
back in the
It
70s.
was the
Yeah.
old
Like
wallpaper
cemented
glue
on.
was it you it was a process. You had to mix it and then you had to drop the sheets in it and then you had to put,
Yep.
oh my God,
Yeah,
it was
you
a
were
whole.
decoupaging everything.
Yeah, the house we lived in, our haunted house in Uptown, was a 1897 house, but it had wallpaper done in the 70s, so it was that same kind
Yeah,
of
that's
deal.
probably why it was so haunted, is because there was more wallpaper around.
There was
Ghost
wallpaper
probably
on the
came.
ceiling. The ceilings were wallpapered because that's
No.
what they did in the Victorian
No.
times. The
No.
ghost probably came in just to tell you to get rid of the wallpaper.
Yeah, they were like, this is ridiculous.
They were
Yeah.
like, I'm coming out of retirement.
Megan's getting emotional about the wallpaper now.
I just really like it. I feel like it's just misunderstood. Okay.
You'll be okay.
You
Oh
don't
my.
know the wallpaper like I do.
And I see nice wallpaper nowadays in different places. I'm like, that's really nice, but no.
Well, it's
No.
different. I mean, it's not
It
the
is,
cement
but
of the 70s that you have
yeah.
to chisel away with a
I
hammer and a
know,
screwdriver.
but there
Yeah.
is just nightmares.
Yeah.
PTSD, we call
The
that.
chunks of wall that came off when we couldn't get the
Oh my
wallpaper
God.
off the wall itself. Yeah. Okay, anyways,
Yikes.
I'm done there.
All right.
You
So,
clearly unlocked something within AP that she needs to address.
yeah. Steve is talking to Mark, the father client, and Mark tells him that he knows that a doctor used to live here who was a TB doctor in the area. And so Steve's like, okay, I guess I'll look that up. This time he didn't say, oh, clients always think they know people that lived in the house, and they're usually wrong. Well, I will say part of that, I think Steve had a soft spot for this guy, I'm going to guess, because he was also a cop. So they did talk about being a cop. And Steve said, like, I'm sure you're like me. If you don't see it or hear it, you don't believe it.
But then the guy goes on to say that he's had experiences
Yeah,
and
yeah.
he knows that his family has.
Yeah. Yep. He hears his name being called just like we
Which,
used to hear at our house.
oh, I
Yep.
hate mimics so
I know they're
much.
scary.
I hate them. I
I know.
hate them.
Yeah. There was a time when Amy was in a part of her walk and she sees this angry man. And she, this is when he's making her head hurt and stuff, and she yells at him. She goes, knock it off.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's like yelling at a petulant child.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or somebody who leaves dog poop in your yard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hey, you can pick that up. That's in the sideshow, friends, if you didn't, if you want to hear that story.
She doesn't usually yell at ghosts like that.
No,
like, usually she's like, they're doing this, they're doing that. I think it's, it's, I don't know if I've ever seen her really do that.
I don't think I've ever seen her this. Well, I don't think I've ever seen her with a nastier spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And also never seen her as angry with a client.
No, she was with him. I think we have. We just kind of forget about
don't remember any of them.
The, over the time.
Well, I remember
there's
Elvis.
There's definitely been some of those times. Yeah.
In episode one, season one, episode one, when she yelled at Elvis with his cravat.
And also our
and his
first
dandelion
episode.
Jar. Yeah, that was our first episode, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. The exorcism, he talks about having the exorcism in the house. And Megan, you noted that, like, what they didn't really go into that.
No.
They like, didn't say who did it or.
That's what I wonder.
Which then
because...
tells me it's like, oh, my buddy Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does exorcisms on the side.
Yeah, exactly.
He watched a YouTube video about it. But, like, that's my thought is like, who did it? Because if they're doing an exorcism by the Catholic Church, they don't just hand those out willy-nilly.
Correct.
Like, you need to, and I highly doubt it was a Catholic Church exorcism.
It
like,
could,
AP
I don't
said
think
it was probably, like, his buddy Joe,
who,
like, watched the TikTok and was like, I can do that.
Yeah. I had the same thoughts in that, and it seems like it's so dangerous, especially if you're so terrified of something and you do it on discount. Like,
And it's so like, it's so extreme.
Like, did you have a Groupon for you in the next house over for
BOGO
for exorcism?
Two for one. Like, well, like we were talking
Linda
about
Blair's exorcisms. I mean,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Like we were talking about earlier about AP's red lipstick. That's quite pricey, but a high quality.
Yeah.
And that you get what you pay for. I mean, you do.
Like, when did the Warrens die? Did they do this exorcism? Like, I just don't trust it, especially given his very cavalier attitude about it all. I think he probably did it to maybe shut up his daughter,
and that's what it feels a little bit like. Hey, you know, I arrested this guy last week and he says he's a priest somewhere, so he can do this exorcism and do it cheap. But you know, that's just kind of what it felt like, is that either he wasn't fully taking it seriously or he just didn't want to waste the time doing research or something.
I think it's option one.
Feel off.
I think it's option one.
He doesn't. Yeah. He was very. His whole attitude was very dismissive of everything.
Mm-hmm.
When he was being interviewed,
I was really trying to give someone a shot. I won't do it again, you guys.
Just maybe a different episode, because this was not the episode to do it on. So it's not
maybe
good.
Next time. Yeah.
So. I don't know. It just, I feel like he was doing stuff. Like, maybe he did it to shut his daughter up, but he half-assed it because he didn't really believe.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Steven even brings up about the, you know, talking to his daughter about other paranormal groups coming in too. So, like, if he doesn't believe it, then why did he have all these other people come in? Why did he allow Steve and Amy to come in?
Mm-hmm.
Other than this was a free... whatever.
Yeah. Sure, that's what it was.
Yeah. But Christina's the one that really wanted it. So he probably just was like, fine. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had never heard of a voodoo seance before. I mean, I guess I think of I've never heard it called that before. When I think about voodoo practices, sure, they bring up the dead. But I guess I've never heard it called a voodoo seance before.
I wonder how many did they do 17 or
I don't know, maybe
one?
More
just the one
just the one just
or
well
17.
Maybe it was two. No, maybe well okay, no, if was, I'm counting was, on both hands it was 15. No, I well, it was seven,
17, but
17.
That's it. I promise it wasn't
that's,
more
that's
than
my
that.
Last final answer. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what else?
I just tried to look up voodoo seance, and it gives you a definition of what a seance is and what voodooism is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it just says thing. Like seance is a gathering where people attempt to communicate with spirits, and voodoo is a spiritual practice.
Yeah.
So
if anybody
maybe
out there
just,
knows what a voodoo seance is, let us know.
Maybe they just mix the two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or
you know, maybe they brought in
a
voodoo priestess
it?
Or a priest.
Yeah.
to help them with the connection.
Yeah. One thing I noticed was that there were tons of crosses on the walls.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered if that was
for
something
the
that they always had up. Are they super religious? Because they didn't really say that they were. Or if these are just because of the activity. What did I miss?
Amy said AP goes for the vampires.
Oh.
It just made me laugh.
Well, is it one of those towns where nobody dies?
Nobody dies. So, like, do you know people that die? Nope.
Do you know, has anybody else died in this town?
No.
Nope.
Steve, we're never going
to
let him.
Everybody goes to the edge of town and dies on the outside edge.
We ask everybody to walk step over the boundary. The earth.
They walk off the side of the earth because the earth is flat.
Right. Oh, I forgot about that. That's right.
God, AP. It's like you don't even think.
You're right.
Oh God, this is, you guys, we're trying to say this because we're very upset with this person and we're trying not to let our feelings come through.
Mm-hmm. Are we though? Are we trying very hard?
We're masking.
It doesn't feel like we're trying that hard.
we're maybe trying. Yeah. Maybe.
There was another part of Amy's walk where it got really, really bad. And she was like, I have to get out of here.
Yeah.
But she said, he comes up to people's ears and says, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to get you. I'm going to kill you.
I don't
and
like that.
And then he turns on her. And then she's like, he can jump people. That's when she says he can jump people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I'd seen. Yeah. Amy.
And then she's talking about how this guy is beating on him. He hates him. Hates this person. Hates him. Mm-hmm. She just said hates, like, so uniquely. Very Amy. It was a very Amy way of saying them. Like, heart attack.
Yeah.
Hates him.
Yeah. I think she was kind of, like, feeling his anger. And
channeling
us.
The mood.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so that's all we got for
section one.
Section one. Moving on to section two.
Digging through the archives.
Which, in this section, I thought we were going to get more about the whole having tuberculosis patients in the house. I thought that's where this was going to go.
Yeah.
No.
Wide left.
No, this is only about the doctor and his son.
Yeah. Which, by the way, makes you think that the child is like five.
Yeah, when they talk about the kid. Okay, so the doctor's name was George Gindela or Gindele or Gundela or Gondola. No, they didn't say that. But they pronounced his name different. Everybody pronounced it differently. Mm-hmm. And even the descendant pronounced it differently in two times. He said it differently himself. Anyway, it's spelled Gindele. 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 I would think it would be Gindele. Gindele.
Gindele.
Gindele.
Anyways.
Gindele. Anyway, he was a TB doctor. And
he was a general practitioner, though, originally.
Right. But then TB was a pandemic.
And then he started a bunch of different things because he had 10 kids.
How many kids?
Ten
fucking kids.
Which, by the way, when I looked up an article about him, it said he only had 9 kids.
Oh,
so,
really? Oh, yeah. Were they not counting the one who died?
I don't know.
He died when he was 27?
Sad.
Yeah, 27, That's, 28.
Or maybe
there.
He wasn't born yet? When was the article?
It was a historical looking article.
Oh,
so looking
okay.
back. So yeah, I don't know if they just miscounted one or if one
but
actually
with that
died
many
younger,
kids, you can.
Yeah. Well, that's
they're like,
I
I'll
mean,
just,
people
just,
had kids, had that many kids because
they all died.
Most of them didn't make it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, crap, all of these ones have made it. So what are we going to do now?
And now
they're
what?
Like, they're like, shit, this did not go according
to plan. We got to go start a baseball team.
A soccer team.
Well, they did open up a candy store. And a newsstand that they operated.
They're probably hoping one of the kids would get taken. They're like, quick, someone take this kid. We have fucking 10. It's too many kids.
Well, at that time, they did sell children to other
Her
families.
Poor
that's true.
Vagina. Having all those kids shoot out of it. The 10th one, probably she just sneezed and that fell out. Yeah. Like, there wasn't even any labor involved.
Oh,
she was like, oh shit, I forgot one back there, and just the umbilical cord is just dragging behind her.
Kid's seven now.
Yeah. They're
Oh my God.
terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All
The
right.
point
So
is, they had a lot of kids.
they had a lot of kids.
If you
Yeah.
couldn't get that.
And this man was very stressed out with all
No
this other
shit. He had to take
businesses and
care of
stuff.
10
All those
kids
kids.
and
Well, his
keep a couple
wife probably
businesses.
took care of all the kids. Of
Well, we
course
know
she did.
she, well, we know she took care of everybody after he flees.
Jeez. All right.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
the Amy sees the guy, she explains, describes him or whatever to us or to Matt.
To
She
like
asks, you know, she
Amy
said,
and Amy
"Hey,
and Megan.
Amy, Megan and AP, are you listening? I'm about to describe the man I'm seeing." Okay, so I'm just going to read this because I'm not going to read it now and then regurgitate it. This John Schmidt, the historian, says, some years before this tragedy, a couple of his sons were going through an apple orchard nearby the property, and this man suddenly appears and starts yelling at him in German, telling him to get out of the apple orchard. So he takes a shotgun full of buckshot and he starts firing them at the kids. And one of his sons gets hit in the leg, and the oldest son, George, so he was already born at this, he was the oldest one. Oldest son, George, got hit in the face, and he didn't die, but it disfigured him horribly.
Usually, to be the oldest, you have to already be born.
Yeah, I was just saying, you were asking, like, when was the article written? Maybe he wasn't born yet, but he was the firstborn.
I'm
So,
just being a
yeah, no,
bitch.
I know. So, AP, you had some stuff here about shotguns and also about how there might be more to this story. I don't know if you want to get into that yet, but you can.
So the first part, just with a shotgun, I bird hunt, so I use a shotgun. And so when he, like, they go, he was hit 35 times in the face. That's not 35 separate bullets. It's 35 separate pellets. Buckshot and birdshot are different. So if they're saying buckshot, it is larger pellets because it would be used to hunt deer or something. So it's going to have a tighter, want to stay in a tighter pattern. Birdshot is smaller, so it goes a little bit further. In a shotgun shell, you have wadding down at the base of it, so that holds all the pellets in the tubing of the shell. And so when that's fired, the shell itself doesn't eject out the end of the gun; it comes out the side. The wadding takes the pellets out the end of the gun. So that's why shotguns were often called scatter guns in the Old West and that sort of stuff, because they scattered everything and they could be very detrimental, especially at close distance. So they were probably, I mean, they could have been anywhere from 20 to 30 yards, 40 yards apart and still got hit like this. If anybody follows Christy Carlson Romano on Instagram, she was in Even Stevens and some other movies when she was younger, child actor. She was recently on the Special Forces show. It's kind of a cool show that they do. But she was with her husband and they were at a gun range and somebody lost control of the end of their barrel, and she got hit in the face with several BBs, including like lodging right behind her eye.
Oh
I'm
my
shocked
God.
she,
Well, yeah, because there's a huge hole right under her eye. I'm like, it was really bad.
So she's, and that was 3, 4 weeks ago now. She's documented. So you can go and check her pages and that sort of stuff. So you can kind of get an idea. This guy, they were probably, I mean, I've been in a field where I've had the pellets fly down around me, not that they were shot at me, but they just kind of come, what goes up must come down, right? So that's where, you know, that if they had been closer, he probably would have been killed. But the other part of this that I found really intriguing is that he purposely stated that this guy was German. Later on, we find out that George Jr. was around 20. So he wasn't a kid anymore necessarily. They were in their teens and early 20s. At the time, it would have been at the time of the end of World War I, which was against the Germans. So the fact that they stated that the man was yelling German at them is a justification for whatever happened afterwards that we don't know anything about. And it's also that fear-mongering of immigrants, of people who don't speak English, who don't look and act like us. So I thought it was really important that we call that part out, because I feel like it's easily missed. And had it been a man who is Japanese, a black man, or something else like that, they probably would have given us more to this story as to what happened to that person afterwards.
Probably.
But that doesn't mean that there wasn't something going on, because again, end of World War One, and it's a German immigrant of some sort.
Yeah. Interesting.
So, and it, yeah, it, the way that they told that story, I definitely thought the kids were like 10.
Yeah. Well, especially because then, well, this says 8 years later. I guess I didn't really think about that. But in 1926, the doctor goes out on a house call, takes George, his son George,
which,
with him.
The oldest. Again, I could have thought that, okay, kid was 10 when he got disfigured. So he's 18, working with his dad now.
Yeah, I didn't even do the math that he was 18.
I
pictured him as a teenager. He was 27 when this happened.
Yes. Yeah.
But they went on a house call, and the doctor parked his car, goes into the house call, leaves George in the car. George doesn't stay in the car. He comes out. George is not in the car. George is gone. They didn't say this in the show, at least I don't recall it, but he was missing for 2 weeks.
Yes.
Wow.
Before they found him. Because APU found an article about this incident.
Yep. And it just, I read through it, and it just kind of stated that, you know, he had been missing, you know, it took them a while to they found his body. And then it gave a little bit more background as to why Gindele was so distraught afterwards, because they talk about him having this like breakdown, but it seems like he refused to believe that his child was gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
He refused to believe that it was his kid. And that is what really started to appear to lead to his full mental breakdown that he had, which then he fled to go live with his sister and left his wife with the rest of their children. So if the oldest was at this point 27, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, first of all, for them to have made it that long without losing a kid is pretty remarkable in that time.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, you've
I mean,
got
Dad
your
was a
oldest.
Doctor, but
you have your oldest, and you have a boy. I mean, two of the big things that, you know, people consider to be valuable.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know how anybody survives the death of any child.
I don't know either. I don't know either.
So I could understand how he would flee, but
yeah.
And it was
but
weird.
But she's still dealing with grief too. Like,
yes.
Your grief isn't the only grief.
Yeah. Right?
Your wife lost her child that she carried. Your 9 children lost a brother that they've known their entire lives.
Well, like, and it sounds like there was way more to the story than him just wandering off onto a bridge or onto a river. It sounds like he got into something. It sounds like he had some trouble to begin with. Because even in that article, too, I think it said when he turned 18, he had
That's
to enlist
really
in the
great.
Draft. But by the time he was ready to, he would have been drafted. The war was over. But, or, you know, there's potentially other things. When he got disfigured, obviously, he wasn't going to be going to war if he had been drafted. But,
I mean, could it have been suicide? You know,
well, and I was thinking, yeah, definitely. I mean, that's what I thought at first.
See,
I first
I
heard
was
about
picturing
this.
He was a 12-year-old, so I pictured he was sitting on the side of this river and
he
like
just
fell
boop.
Backwards.
Yeah,
right. But then we hear Amy talking about somebody slipping on ice, and do we get told what time of year it was when the doctor was traveling out with somebody?
It was snowy.
Okay.
Yes. Let's see. He did. The doctor gets a house call, decides to take George out with
pretty
him, and it's
snowy,
pretty snowy for that time
for
of
that
year.
Time of year. So for that time of year makes me think, is it springtime?
Either that
Like
or fall. Or where it's not super, super snowy yet, but it was this time in 1926. Yeah. And then Amy sees a guy who fell down, slipped on the ice, and he snapped a little. Oh, she's talking about the father snapping mentally. This is where I was like, so is the ghost that Amy's seeing, this nasty person, is that the doctor or is that the son?
Or is it somebody else?
It could be somebody else. I think that, well, we'll get there, but I think in the reveal they think that it's the doctor, but I thought it was the son.
I thought it's the son. The spoiler, the one of the sketches that she has drawn, I don't think looks like the dad that much.
I don't think it looks like.
I think it looks
I
exactly
don't think,
like.
It's a
I think
caricature.
It looks like. I think it looks like the kid. If you put that picture of
the
kid
kid
next to that picture
yeah.
in the reveal, looks far, because that picture looks so much younger.
Yeah.
But what if it's the dad showing himself younger?
Yeah, that could be.
It could be.
The dad is the only one, from what we've learned, that is angry. Yeah. That is
the one
bitter.
Problem is that the no mustache.
Well, he could have it without a mustache.
Yeah, but I mean, both pictures that we see of the guy, he's got the mustache.
Yeah, yes, he does.
I agree.
He does.
And I mean, I would assume the kid's angry too.
Yeah, getting shot in the face and disfigured. There goes his whole life. I mean,
He's not likely to end up married.
No, not a good marriage. You know, or if he does get married, it's probably because his wife's family made her get married, and not because she wanted to get married to him, because he was disfigured. Not that anything we believe, but that's what they believed back then.
Back then, And we do learn a little bit more about the wife, which I think might be the lady that Amy saw in the beginning, who said, you're not going to help anyway.
It's because nobody ever helped her after he left. She was stuck.
She was like, God,
I have these nine fucking kids.
I know.
Well, and Amy says she's very tired and worn out. No kidding.
No kidding.
She had nine kids.
God.
And I'm sure some of them were older, but, you know, that's a lot of fucking kids.
Yeah.
It's too many kids.
It's too many kids.
That's too many kids.
It's about nine too many, if you ask me. I meant of the 10. I could have one.
Okay. One is good. One is a lot. I'm doing great.
I'm perfect.
I'm loving it.
Yeah.
If he could just pee in the potty, we'd be fine.
Oh, no.
It's fine.
We talk about this poorhouse/asylum that was on nearby property.
Oh, poorhouse, not poor house.
Not poor. That's a bar. A poorhouse.
I was like, this poorhouse who's had to deal with all these tragedies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Amy, I was on your side. I was like, yeah, the poorhouse.
The poorhouse. I've been there. They have really good tater tots. this
shiny
was
object.
Tater tots? Where?
Tater tots. Tater tot hot
go
dish?
For a tater tot right about now.
TTHD.
So Pat Butler, the reporter we talked to, and she talks to us.
That
about,
is a yes. name.
Pat Butler?
Pat Butler. I'm Pat Butler.
I'm Pat Butler reporting from Chicago.
Chicago.
Anyway, we hear about this mental institution, they also called it. In 1923, it burned down and at least 17 people were killed. All of their bodies burned beyond recognition.
14 of those 17 were patients.
Right.
They said that like in the show, like this is where people put people to disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
They didn't want you put them here and you forgot about
them. This is where all of her extra kids could have gone.
Oh, missed opportunity.
But just in all fairness, this other poor farms have doubled as orphanages as well as asylums and, you know, where you would put every underclass person.
Yeah. It's not just mentally challenged people. Mm-hmm. It's also physically, because the TB people were there.
Mm-hmm.
It's
women.
Women. Yeah.
The worst of the worst.
Really?
Spinsters.
So they're saying that a lot of people were buried on that property even before the fire. So.
Well, yeah. Where else are they going to bury them when they die there?
38,000 supposedly.
I know. When they said conservatively, 38,000 people.
What's
and
not
Steve
conservatively?
Steve said, wow. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's an understatement, Steve, because I yelled, Jesus.
Yeah.
And then, Amy, you found another article about this, which I clicked on and started to read, but then I couldn't finish it. So do you want to just talk about that?
Yeah. So I was like, okay, 38,000. So how long was this place open for? They broke ground on it in 1851 and it opened in 1854. I couldn't find the exact date that it closed, but it was sometime in the 1960s or 70s.
Holy shit.
So it ran for over 100 years. So just to do the math quickly, if it was open for 100 years, let's say, that's 380 deaths a year. That's over one person a day dying.
Yeah. That's insanity speaking.
But you got to think, they probably weren't the best conditions. Nobody gave a shit about these people.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
yeah.
They were probably living in their own filth, you know?
Yeah.
So I copied in a quote that was out of this article. I can't remember what the journal is, but it was a Blogspot written in 2017 on the Dunning Asylum in Chicago. And it was in a section where they were talking about buildings have been rebuilt on this area. I think there's a hot one of the hospitals in the area might be like have been built here, and they literally would just like scoop up bones and toss them somewhere else.
Oh, God.
So this says a femur would pop up, he says, and it wasn't associated with a grave of any sort. It was just mixed in with the soil from previous construction and the removal of buildings in the past. In this area, you can walk into any of these yards, dig in the flower beds, and come up with human remains. They're part of the scattered remains from the construction activity in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. Every time they built a building, human remains would go flying.
Oh my
That's
God.
So
Keene
sad.
explains, state officials constructed the hospital buildings between 1912 and the 1960s on this land without any regard to whether people had been buried there. The state came in and, as far as we can tell from the archaeological evidence, removed any surface evidence of burials in the entire area. Keene says they actually built right on top of the graves.
That sounds familiar.
Can you imagine how haunted that house must have been, or that
No.
building
Which
must have been
also,
while?
these were not ever graves. These were just mass burials.
Yeah.
Or it was like, okay, so this is, 1912. Everybody who dies goes in this hole. Or when they did bury them, they weren't putting them in coffins. They weren't going
No.
6 feet down. These were
No.
not, there was no regard for
Because they
humanity in
didn't
this
matter.
manner.
Yeah.
They were
Yep.
probably women. Yeah, the
Yep.
worst.
Or sick.
So, yeah.
I
So
mean,
if you
yeah,
read through
they
that
aren't cared for
article,
either.
I just skimmed through it, but I saw this part and I was just like, that's
Sad.
like
Yeah.
this, that part should have been brought up in this episode.
Yeah. Interesting.
Because, but they probably didn't want to, because then you couldn't tie specific spirits to the
Yeah.
specific people we know. So there's a high possibility that, because Amy wasn't totally sold that the guy was George Gindele. She's like, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, it could have been somebody who was left over
One of the
from the
38,000 people.
Yeah, exactly.
And at the minimum, and Amy, I know you've been to the Greyfriars Kirkyard too in
Yep.
Edinburgh, and when we did the ghost tour there, the guy said, they have like 200,000 burials or something like are listed. But he said in this area, and the area is so much smaller than you would think,
It
Megan.
is a really small
It's not,
cemetery.
he's like, there's probably over 1 million people here.
God.
Because whenever there was one that was open,
Oh.
they would just throw more bodies in.
Yeah.
You have the plague pit. And so
Yeah.
there was just bodies just shoved
Oh,
into this
God.
giant cavern, and coffins are stacked on top of coffins, and just, yeah. So it wouldn't be surprising. And obviously, they didn't really have records. So there's
Right.
not a surprise that
And
there's
even if
likely
they
more than
did,
38,000.
who's keeping track of them?
Well, think
Right.
about how many potentially pregnant women ended up here, or
Oh
women got
yeah,
pregnant
unwed.
at this facility.
They probably had gastric sleeves and they became promiscuous. It's
That's it. Here we
all
go.
full circle.
That's
Full
it. Yep.
circle.
You got to listen to the sideshow to get the full
Yeah,
story on that
sorry,
one.
I forgot.
That's okay. Maybe we'll get some more patrons that just want to hear what we were talking
You
about
should.
before.
We're hilarious.
It's fun. Thank you for listening. The activity continues. We'll be back after this short break. Hi, friends. Do us and yourselves a favor and check out our affiliate, Three Spirit Drinks. They create plant-based, non-alcoholic elixirs that are cruelty-free and vegan, and they are designed to give you some of the benefits of alcohol without the hangover and other side effects. If you're looking to cut down on alcohol but still want the buzz, check them out. The link is us.threespiritdrinks.com and use the promo code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES for 15% off your entire order. Okay, so let's move to the reveal, segment
All right,
three, the reveal. All
everybody,
right, here we
buckle
go.
up.
Here we go.
Grab your bingo cards.
Yep.
We should just have bingo cards for what the three of us say at some point.
Oh my God, we should. We
Megan
can do that.
absolutely would say, I saw it on TikTok.
Yeah.
Hey, AP.
Mine is, I follow this girl on TikTok.
AP's is, I saw this reel on Instagram.
Instagram. Yep. Absolutely. Yep.
Anyway,
Amy's would also
so.
be fun fact. Okay, I'm done. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. AP, not me.
AP.
Yeah.
Yeah, AP.
Yeah. Megan was, we'd also, for Megan, we'd have to have, I would shit my pants.
Or there'd be a Megan-shaped hole in the wall.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, that's another one. Yep.
Okay. Sorry.
So here we go. Amy talks about the people she saw. They were charred and burned upstairs in the hallway in particular. And they
the reveal is Lori, Mark, and Christina.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. All three of them are there.
Yeah.
Sorry. I forgot that part.
It's okay. That's why we're here.
And then they talk about how they hear footsteps upstairs. Mm-hmm. Thought it was Mark, but he wasn't home yet. So it wasn't him.
It wasn't the kids. They were in bed.
It wasn't the dogs.
They had the boozing. She's not boozing.
No, nobody was boozing. No, he didn't have any of those tropes.
No pills. Yeah, he didn't ask if it was the animals once. They must not have animals.
They must not have.
Mark seemed like a dog kind of guy.
Hey!
He seemed more like a ferret kind of person.
That is the best insult I think I've ever heard.
You seem like a ferret.
You seem like you don't have a ferret.
They say you and your pets start to look alike.
You look alike,
right?
Yeah.
Listen, don't do ferrets that way.
All of my dogs look different from each other, and I don't think I look like any of them. But I think Fozzie and I had similar hair.
Yes. I was going to say attitudes. Had
blonde, curly hair.
Yes. Poor Foz. Yes. All right. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. So, Steve, then here's where Amy did the math on the... Okay. So now we see the sketch. And I was like, Steve said, well, you guys got to take a look at the sketch. And I was like, good job, Steve. You didn't tell them your thoughts first. And then then he did. But anyway, they show the sketch and then the picture that we had seen before of George, the doctor. And then we see another picture that we did not see in the show, but it's on the table next to the sketch, mm-hmm. which is him reading a newspaper. And it looks like he's got a cigar in his mouth. And I don't think
it's
he has
a profile.
Yeah, it's profile. I don't think he has a mustache.
No.
But I just didn't think that looked like him.
It doesn't look like him.
I don't think so. He's got a real round face, and that doctor's face was very gaunt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The nose is different. The doctor's nose is very pointy, and this one is more rounded on the edges.
Yeah.
It's just not the same person.
I thought
Mark, of course, is like, that's definitely the guy I saw. My name is Mark.
Yeah, if you put a mustache on him. Okay, what are we doing? Calling Pringles?
If you put a mustache on him and you squint your eyes and you look into the sun first and then you look back at it, then it really looks like him. Mark.
And I'm sorry, but this image does look like somebody who's in the 25-year-old range.
Yeah.
Late teens to early 20s.
Okay, to be fair, Amy has said multiple times that ghosts show how they want to be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It doesn't necessarily mean they're way.
Like the hair part doesn't even look right. And you don't often change where your hair parts.
Yeah.
It kind of just grows that way.
Minus hair,
Right. Yeah. It's a very much a side part with a bang situation going on.
Yeah. Well, then Amy said he had two big accidents during his life. The first one was when he slipped. The first one she saw was when he slipped on the ice, which to me sounds like when George fell into the river. And then she said the other one I saw, he was walking to meet some men and something really bad happened and he was all bloody and something wrong with his eyes, which sounds to me like when George, the son, was shot in the face after getting yelled at by the German guy.
Yes.
So I am pretty sold on this was
the son,
the kid.
Yeah.
Or they somehow merge together. I know that can have spirits that are from different areas, but this guy didn't live the last 20 years of his life anywhere near this house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He went and lived with his sister and left his wife. He died when he was 75.
With his nine kids.
Yeah. he died when he was 75, but he didn't live anywhere near this house anymore.
Yeah. It would seem weird for him to come back and haunt that if he fled from it. The part of his life where he went,
cuckoo.
Cuckoo. I was going to say cuckoo, but I wasn't sure if that was okay. All right. I said it. You said it. It's fine.
We said it. We'll go down together.
that he spent that part of his life somewhere else. So I would think if he's going to haunt anything, it'd be somewhere over where his sister lived.
Yeah. Or where he had a good time, memories.
Unless there's been some sort of splitting and, you know, part of him stayed behind after his son died, which you would think that Amy would have maybe called that part out and feel like that would have been included for being part dramatic.
And look, we know that shit happens all the time in the reveals that doesn't make it. So there could have been an entire conversation about this.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, the reveal could have been 14 hours and it was cut down to 17 minutes. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, and so, we also know we don't know everything and we're just speculating here. Yeah. But it just, from what we've heard previously, things aren't quite adding up. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, not having, you know, Steve just talks about the fire that happened at that facility and then talks about that there was 38,000 people, but he doesn't say how long it operated. He doesn't go into anything else. There is more than one tragedy that happened there.
Yeah.
There's no way 38,000 people are buried on that facility property with only one fire taking 17 people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Here's where my dislike of Lori really manifested.
Okay.
Because Christina basically loses her shit here, rightfully so. Mm-hmm. She tells about how she had a dream. There was a boy who looked like he was in his late teens and half his face was missing. She gets up and she's crying. Like she has to leave. Mm-hmm. You can hear her in the background going, this is, you know, you guys thought I was crazy. You didn't believe me. You thought I was crazy. And here's where Lori said, I never even heard that, honey. I didn't even know that happened. To me, it sounded like backpedaling, like because she was on TV, she's trying to, but she said, you guys, she didn't say my dad. She didn't say you. She said, you guys, which makes me believe that she had told Lori and Lori told was like, you're full of shit. And now because they're on TV, Lori's like, I never heard that. I'm sorry. I just didn't buy it.
Yeah.
I can see where you're coming from on that. I guess I could also hear it of, you know, if there's others around too, like I've told you guys, and maybe she just lumped Lori into that, but Lori
maybe
potentially wasn't there or only heard like only heard part of it. Oh, you know, like I maybe she's saying I didn't hear that. That was that terrifying, or I only heard about this from your dad, or
if he told her, then you know he left some shit out because he didn't believe it,
you know. And which to me, especially the way, and I can see where you're saying that she was backpedaling, but I also got more of that, like potentially she, you know, was telling her dad, maybe Lori had been in the room, then walked away and she told her dad and she was panicking and freaking out and he just smoothed over it. Like smooth peanut butter, like he does with everything else, and didn't say anything else. And so Lori didn't actually hear that part of it. So,
maybe. And that's possible. I'm just saying the way that Christina reacted.
Also,
and
watching Christina's body language, though, she wasn't shirking away from Lori. She wasn't like, don't touch me.
Yeah.
And like this, like, I told you, why are you touching me? Mm-hmm. To me, it was more of that, like, I told you guys. Yeah. Nobody listened to me. And we're
maybe,
you know, it's that aspect. So
it could be.
That's
I just felt like I felt so bad for her.
Yeah.
I felt
Christina, I know. And then her dumb fucking dad goes, this is hard for me to take. Oh, it's really hard for you? It's hard for you. God. Oh, I'm so sorry that it's hard for you that your daughter is having a problem.
A breakdown
his comment where you mentioned that you think that Lori was backpedaling, but then Mark goes, she'll be all right. And that's where I can see like that he just tried to smooth everything over. And maybe Lori never knew about that dream.
Maybe. I hope so. I really do. Because I don't want to lump Lori in with Mark, but it's just that's what that gave off to me.
We didn't get much on her, so it's really hard. And, you know, coming in from each of our perspectives when we came into this too, I was trying to be positive and like be on the positive side of things. So maybe I saw it from that lens and, you know, already being pissed off with Mark, seen it from that lens. So it probably lies somewhere in the middle of all of that.
Yeah.
Oh, and then we fucking get fucking A. She comes back, she sits down and she goes, I'm okay. And Mark goes, starting to make sense to you now? Like he's in there like, I've been trying to explain it to you.
Yeah.
Are you understanding it? Fuck you and the horse you rode in on that you got in on the left side because of your sword. Sideshow.
Yep. We're going to just link the sideshow right here for everyone to go find those references.
But like, seriously, dude? Yeah. Oh my God, yeah. This kid, this guy, this fucking guy.
He just kept getting worse.
Let's just when you think it couldn't get worse,
the hits.
He goes,
coming.
"Hold my beer. I'm gonna be and a douchier douche."
And I would assume that a lot of that douchiness was cut out.
I'm sure it was.
Probably.
This is to the final cut.
Yeah.
The dogs in the room just ran for cover. That's how high my voice got, but
it actually cut out. I couldn't hear it all. Anyway, there's another sketch of that this is something that the man does in the main bedroom. He's getting physical with the woman on the bed. And then Steve does his, I have to show you this.
Could this be you?
Oh my God, what do you think?
By the way, we do find out that it was April that George went into the river.
Oh, okay. April, so it's spring. Okay.
Yep.
So
oh my God, did I not say April earlier? God,
I think you did.
So good.
Mm-hmm. Way to pay attention.
Thank you. And remember, that's the biggest key.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so Amy tells, this is what she says she believes is going on here. She says, after hearing everything, I kind of feel like I was being a little too hard on him. And they show a picture of the doctor. She said, that's a heartbreaking story. The woman, she's always been here. I mean, she never left. I think what may have happened here is that he was probably pulled back to the house. When you had paranormal groups come in and tried to contact the dead, it probably pulled him back here from the darkness. Mm-hmm. This is the place he ran from in life. Too many memories, too much pain, and he's reliving it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So and where was said, if he was in the darkness, is that like purgatory? Or are you just sitting there like in torment?
I don't know.
Maybe that's what he wanted.
Maybe.
Maybe he felt like he deserved to be tormented. I don't know. Mm.
But she says he's lashing out because this shenanigans that they did in the house brought him back and he doesn't want to be here. And she says he really can't leave now because he's just in the thick of this chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve says, so he's not able to leave even if he wanted to. And she says, exactly. So, Steve does ask, when you saw the incidents involving the ice and the blood, was that him reliving his son's accidents? And Amy says, I think so. So I guess I missed that from before. So I guess that's why it sounds to us like it's the kid, but it could be the father. Who knows? Could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
So then Mark goes, well, I feel bad for him, but on the other hand, I'm mad.
Cool, dude.
And then he's like that, about his wife and what's doing to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then Amy says, well, this is going to sound unusual, but the first thing I would do, the first thing would be to get a clinical psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
And they pan over to Mark, who is shaking his head no.
Oh, God. Cue fragile masculinity.
No shit.
Has entered the chat because God forbid we have any emotion other than happiness that has to be dealt with.
Yeah. Yep. So she says, Amy says, these are his conditions. And Steve goes, what do you mean his conditions? He's asking for this? And she said, yes.
He meaning the spirit.
The spirit. Yes. She said, yes. Earlier we made a compromise. And then we have a voiceover of her explaining this. Sometimes this happens actually quite often when I get to the house for the reveal. The angry man approached me and we worked out a deal to help him move on. And so then she says they need to get a chaos magician. Steve asked what that is. And she said, a chaos magician is an individual who follows the philosophy that the universe and the earth and everything is functioning within chaos. So they utilize that chaos within their magic, which sounds so cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then, Steve reiterates, so when the chaos magician comes in, that'll get rid of the old lady and the burn victims, and then Dr. Gendele too, if he doesn't leave on his own. She says yes. So then the nightmares, they decide that Amy can just tell them when she wakes up, get out of
Christina.
The house. Christina.
Yep.
We'll just tell them, get out of my house, leave me alone, leave my daughter alone, and they should respect that.
Which is exactly what Leah told me to do, is like, you set the boundary.
Yeah.
You know, you're the parent and the ghost is your child and you're telling them you are not allowed here.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Hopefully that works. So Steve asks, are you going to do what Amy suggests? Buckle up, because Mark says, I'll do my best, but that psychologist isn't for us. I got enough people in this house. Even if we do the other steps, they'll have to leave. We'll force them to leave.
How are you going to do that?
Yeah.
Fucking dipshit McGee.
You can't put them in handcuffs and toss them in the back of your squad car.
Nope. And I mean, this is like the first time
where I think the client has defiantly been like, no, we're not doing it.
Yeah. And then
I had to rewind it when she's like, are you seriously going to do that? Because I was watching it at work.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? And I'm like, I can't. Oh, my God. Her face is priceless.
I know. I took a screenshot. I'll put that in the social. She was like. So then Amy Amy says, are you seriously going to do that? Mark goes, I don't know.
Yeah, because he's not used to people calling him out.
Right. Get used to it, pal. Mm.
Yeah.
So then Amy goes, hey, you got to take some responsibility here. He didn't want that. He did not want to be here. And then he's like, it's just the negotiation part I have a problem with.
Why?
Because he's not in charge. Because he's not in charge.
Fucking asshole. Yeah, I noted, you know, God forbid you should have to compromise with another person and just automatically getting your way. Asshole. Yeah.
And then Amy's like, he beat the shit out of me.
Yeah, for hours.
Yes, her whole walk.
Yeah.
But, you know, this might be a little uncomfortable for you to have to compromise, Mark.
Yeah. Sorry, asshole.
She really laid into him, and I'm glad.
Yeah, she did. And then Christina, to her credit, says, I think you should do what Amy is saying. And it's, I know, you know, it's extreme as this for Lori. If it all gets to stop, you have to swallow your pride, and you have to do what you have to do to get it to stop. He's like, it's not easy for me. Well, too fucking bad. Too fucking bad. Nobody
cares,
asshole.
For once in
your
life, you have some adversity because you're at the top of the food chain normally being a white man.
Yep. And then Amy.
God, this was
Amy
the best.
Ends with, but you know what? Two wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah.
And then she says,
you are the man who trapped this guy here in the first place.
You fix it. You're the one to fix it. Nobody else. I mean, you have to do the things that need to be done. Not just, I'm going to, you know, tell him to leave.
But it's really hard.
But it's hard for me. So as nobody will be surprised, the end credits, cards, whatever, say Mark has decided against bringing in a psychologist and a chaos magician. Instead, he plans to contact a priest to perform a house blessing.
Didn't he try that before? These aren't demons.
No.
They're not negative entities. So a blessing is going to do jack shit for them.
You know what I picture is in the show Ghosts, and somebody just comes in and is like, yeah, we're gonna bless this house. And they would just sit there and go like, oh, isn't that cute?
Yeah. Honestly.
Oh, did they bring us some gifts today? Like, what are we doing?
Oh, look at this. I haven't seen that in a house before. That's really cute.
Oh, at least they're burning sage. It smells great in here.
Ooh, someone go get lavender. We'll tell them that does something.
I just, you know, the attitude of being just so cavalier of, and it's because she, one, used the term psychologist.
Yes.
And two, use the term negotiation. And being that Chicago, early 20 teens, Chicago doesn't have the best rap for officers.
Right.
Whatever district that he's in, he's not in control of a situation, which Megan, you were nailing that earlier, just that, you know, he doesn't get to do what he wants to do. Well, if it was me, I would have done it like this. Okay,
but it's
dipshit.
Not you.
Like, you already tried something. And
your ways didn't work.
You Grouponed it. So why don't you go get your third of four right now? The next one's free.
Not drag Groupon through the mud? I love Groupon. But yeah, I get it.
I mean, there are some things that shouldn't be discounted.
Yeah, right. Like your LASIK,
like
eye
lip
surgery.
Oh, yeah, I know some people who did I know somebody who did the Groupon with LASIK, and I'm like, and then they had some issues afterwards, and I'm like, well, I mean,
of course they did.
Where did you go? Who did you talk to?
Yep.
Hey.
We're just ready to wrap it up.
Okay.
Okay. So that's it. That was we were all pretty frustrated watching that one, and we all texted each other afterwards and went, "Oh my God."
So
we tried
annoying.
Not to talk about it too much until tonight so that we could
have
our
you guys.
Reactions fresh for you.
You're welcome.
So I hope you enjoyed it. And
yes, this was a good episode.
Yeah, it was fun. And we'll see you next time. And we're by this time, we will probably be back to every week. Mm-hmm. We'll see. We'll see if it works.
Yeah. Thanks for joining, everyone.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues.
Nailed it.
The Activity Continues is produced by me, Amy, at Collected Sounds Media and is part of the independent Collected Sounds podcast network.
This is just a disclaimer and sort of warning about this podcast. The Activity Continues podcast is in no way affiliated with the Dead Files, its production company, or any of its distributors. We are simply fans that love the show and love to talk about it and dissect it and, yes, make fun of it. But we do love it. And all of the opinions expressed herein are ours alone and have nothing to do with the Dead Files or any of its cast, crew, production, or distributors. And we swear. Enjoy.